Today's reading is from the New Testament book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. It's found on page 901 in the Church Blue Bible. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. May God give his understanding to this reading.
We'll keep that passage open in front of you. If you do need a Bible this morning, you can head into the foyer and grab one off the silver table just on the edge there. A trademark. Trademark, it identifies something. I know my car's a Toyota. It belonged to Toyota. I know Toyota makes cars because of the trademark that you see associated with my car. A trademark is a way to help people to identify what it is that they're seeing. And we know this all makes sense with products that we buy, the things that we have in our house. But what about people we see? What about Jesus? Can Jesus have trademarks that help us identify who he is and where he comes from? Trademarks that stand him apart from the rest, unique, one-of-a-kind kind of trademarks that show us that he alone is our Savior, that he only can be our Lord and our King, that Jesus alone is God come in the flesh to save us. Well, today begins a 13-week journey that we'll jump into at different times throughout the year, so the first 3 weeks of January, into Easter, June, July, and then in September, those holiday breaks, where we'll check out 13 claims that Jesus tells about who he is. And as we do, we'll be inspired and we'll be challenged. That's the prayer, to a saving, unshakable faith in him. We're having seen who he is, that will then impact who we are to be, and our everyday life awaiting his return. So let's pray as we open up our passages this morning as we begin this journey for a new year. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, Son, and Spirit, Lord, as we spend this time now in your word, Lord God, and we pray, Lord, that you would teach us mightily by your Spirit, that you would show us Jesus clearly, that we would see these incredible, these wonderful, these fantastic consequences and impacts and realities that we can find in relationship with you, Lord God. Lord Jesus, may you be Lord, the King, the Savior over our life. Thank you that it's your grace that saves. We pray, Lord, that as we step into this new series, as we step into this new year, Lord, that we would come to grasp that in a mighty way. We would come to see you clearly, Jesus, and who you are and who we're to be. We pray this in your name. Amen. Now, the first trademark of Jesus that we're going to look at is mentioned there in our reading that Jen read, where Jesus declares that he's the way. He is the way. But the first question we need to ask is, the way to what? If I said to you in the street, hey, I'm the way. Okay, but there's the way to what? There's multiple directions. The way to what? What is Jesus the way to? Well, from what he says to his disciples, Jesus makes it clear for us. He's talking about being the only way to God. That no one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the way to relationship with God. Now, he marries this with two other claims as well. Have a look there at verse 6. See if you can sort of yell them out. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through him, meaning that Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the truth of the Father. Jesus is the life the Father gives, all of which is found in saving relationship with the Father through faith in Jesus. And so Jesus sums all this up to say, no one comes to the Father, no one comes to God except through me. I am the way you come. I am the truth that you need. And I am the life that you live. Now we'll unpack more about Jesus being the truth and the life over the next 2 weeks. But today I want us to focus on Jesus being the way, that he's the way to God. Now see, some people think that coming to God is like climbing a mountain. I don't know if you've ever heard that analogy. Coming to God is like climbing a mountain. God sits atop the mountain, and there are multiple ways you can come to them. Whoever that God is, there are multiple ways you can come to them. Each climber reaches the top in their own way. But here, Jesus gives a very different picture. There aren't multiple ways, there is just one. There is just one, and that is him. And that's because God doesn't sit at the top of a mountain we must climb. God is not a journey of self-discovery. He's not in the next room of our consciousness that we can somehow access once we're enlightened enough, once we've grown and matured enough. No, God is on the other side of a void that we can't bridge. Coming to God isn't a destination where the means doesn't matter, just that you arrive. God, coming to God isn't about doing, where you find God however's best for you. God isn't a destination. Coming to God is about entering a relationship. Coming to God isn't about doing, it's about becoming one with him. God doesn't sit at the top of a mountain we all climb in our own way. He exists on the other side of a void that we can't mend, separated by his holiness and our sin. And Jesus bridges that void for us. God is on the other side of a shattered and broken relationship with us that we can't reconcile, but Jesus can. See, Jesus bridges that gap where he takes our sin and he makes us holy. He reconciles our relationship with God by bringing our forgiveness and unifying us to God. He forges a way for us to come to God that we actuate, that we receive through our faith in him, doing this for us. The way to God is about coming into relationship with him, and that can only be through Jesus. And we've had our kids talk, so the answer's kind of spoiled, but why? Why? Because Jesus is God. And did you notice the claim Jesus is making here? I don't know if it stood out to you. Not just that he holds the keys to the way, the truth, and the life of God, but that Jesus is these things. Did you notice that? Jesus is these things. Jesus doesn't have, like I would have. Jesus is these things. The way to God isn't something someone has, and so anyone might be able to have it and give it away to you or sell it to you at the right price or in the right way. No, Jesus is the way. And so God is only found through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Through Jesus himself is the way to God. Jesus himself is the truth, the reality, the existence of God. Jesus himself is to be our life in relationship with God. He doesn't just offer them. He embodies them. And that's why Jesus is the only way to God. He's both 100% God and 100% man. Jesus is the mediator, the conduit, both the sacrifice and the sacrificer, both the ransom and the redeemer. There aren't multiple ways to God, just Jesus, because Jesus is God. And so the way to God is through Jesus himself. Now this is an incredible thing to grasp for multiple reasons, but when we think about how this plays out in our life, what this means for us as followers of Jesus, this is an incredible thing to grasp, because when we come to faith in Jesus, we become united to him. In fact, to the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, in that rebirth, we ourselves then embody those same trademarks. God works through us by the Holy Spirit, where our life and our testimony is a way for people to know him. Our attitudes, our actions are transformed as demonstrations of God's truth, of the reality of God. Where it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me by the presence of the Holy Spirit. My life is now his. Now again, Jesus being the truth and the life is for the next 2 weeks, where today is about Jesus being the way, this way to God. But more specifically, I want us to hear what Jesus says about what this relationship with God means that he's the way into. See, at this particular moment, Jesus isn't teaching his disciples so much about how to enter that relationship with God. He does it at other times. Here, he isn't talking about those big theological aspects like redemption and reconciliation, that he redeems and saves us out of sin, that he reconciles us with God, once a sinner, now a child of God. That in Jesus we find redemption and reconciliation, which are essential to coming into relationship with God. At this moment with his disciples, Jesus isn't so much teaching about how to enter relationship with God, but rather what it means to have relationship with God, of the wonderful consequences that relationship with God means for us now and for eternity, of the incredible promises that we can cling to when we come to Jesus in faith as the way to God. And make sure your passage is open. We're going to have a look at verse 1. The first thing that Jesus says, and he says it very subtly, is that in coming to him as the way to God, the only way to God, we can know an untroubled heart. Sounds like a country song, doesn't it? An untroubled heart. See, this whole conversation Jesus has here with his disciples comes out of him hinting to them, and you can read that back in the previous chapter, hinting to them about his return to heaven, which will come after his death and resurrection. They don't quite understand everything at this point, but they understand enough to be stunned and to be scared and unsure of what is going to happen when he leaves. And so Jesus' purpose here is to instill into them that him leaving isn't the end. Him leaving isn't the end. That what he brings us is eternal relationship with God that can't be undone by distance. But that if our faith is in Jesus, our life is in the hands of God. And with him, there's an assurance for life now and the life to come. That the way to God, the truth of God, the life that God gives isn't found in a place, but it's in a person, in Jesus. And that's not for a moment, and that's not for a season, but that's forever. An untroubled heart, that's how Jesus starts verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Don't become distressed and scared and uncertain about your circumstances. You know God is greater than them. You know God is greater than those circumstances. Now trust in me. Have faith in me. Believe in me as the way you come into relationship with that God that you know is bigger than your circumstances. But what I find so comforting about Jesus' words here is the simplicity of what he's calling us to do. To not be troubled, but to simply cling to God and trust in Jesus. Having an untroubled heart amidst the distresses and the uncertainties of life is grounded in maintaining belief in God and trust in Jesus. There's no 10-step process, no course, no program, no quick fix solution. Cling to God. Trust in Jesus by faith. So in coming to Jesus as the way to God, the only way to God, in coming into relationship with God, one of the wonderful consequences, that incredible promises that we can know, is an untroubled heart. But what might be troubling yours? What might be troubling yours? See, sometimes our hearts, our well-being, our mentality as believers will be troubled by our circumstances. But that doesn't mean that we're out of relationship with God. Jesus says here to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. See, there's an acceptance here that it's possible for their hearts to be troubled, isn't there? Don't let your hearts be troubled. There's the possibility that their hearts could be troubled is here. Now, compared to the other points that we'll look at this morning, where there's a definite certainty, here Jesus knows that our hearts, our well-being, our mentality can be shaken by our circumstances. And that's okay. It is okay for them to be troubled by our circumstances. But it need not happen. but it need not happen. See, we can know an untroubled heart. We may not always have an untroubled heart, but we can always find an untroubled heart with God. We can know an untroubled heart. We may not always have one, but we can always find one with God. It's okay for our hearts to be troubled, but it need not happen because we have God. We have God. And so what might be troubling yours? Now, a follow-up question is, what is your remedy? Because it's only relationship with God that offers us an untroubled heart. And so the only remedy that exists is coming to him through Jesus. See, other things that we might look to ease our troubled hearts are just temporal distractions. They're like painkillers. That first moment you realize that when you take Panadol or Nurofen, it doesn't actually take away, it doesn't actually stop the problem. It actually just masks the pain. That's all it's doing. You still have a broken toe. You just can't feel it. And there's that light bulb moment that goes off that thinks, suddenly Nurofen doesn't fix the problem. It just masks the pain. It sort of blows your mind a little bit. Temporal distractions that we look after are like painkillers. They don't actually cure the problem. They just mask the pain. When our hearts are troubled, we distract ourselves until our circumstances change. But the thing is, those circumstances will be back. But why is Jesus a remedy? Why is he a solution? Because with Jesus, in relationship with God, we're lifted beyond our circumstances. Our identity, our security, our confidence, our hope, our joy, our contentment is found beyond our physical, tangible, earthly circumstances. And so our heart need not be troubled by them. Yes, that is happening, but my God is bigger. God lifts us beyond our circumstances. With the new year starting, what might be troubling our hearts? And have we taken that to God? Now, I could list a whole bunch of likely ones, but you already know what it is that's troubling your heart. But have you taken that to God? Remember, relationship with God is what's offered. That's what Jesus brought his disciples, and he brings us, because it's in relationship with God that we can know an untroubled heart. So we're to embrace that relationship by being consistent in our daily conversations and interactions with God through prayer, through reading his word, through fellowship with believers, living the life we have been called, saved to live. Jesus is the way to God. He's the way to an untroubled heart. However, secondly, in coming to Jesus as the way to God, we can have an assurance of heaven. Now, Jesus firstly told his disciples not to have troubled hearts, but to trust in him, where he then says to them in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" And speaking of heaven, Jesus adds to the wonderful consequences, these incredible promises our believers have in relationship with God, by saying that there's a place prepared for us in God's home. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that there is a place prepared for Sam in God's home? Let that sit on you for a moment. Jesus tells his disciples that he's not leaving. He's not forgetting about them. Because remember, the relationship we have with God through faith in Jesus is an eternal covenant. It's an eternal bond. Jesus goes to prepare and ready and establish a place for us in heaven, a room for us. Meaning believers are individually considered by God, not communally lumped together. Individually considered. Do we know this assurance of heaven? That we have that confidence that when our time here on earth ends, that a new eternal one will begin in the glories of God, dwelling, living, existing alongside others on what will be a new heaven and a new earth for eternity. Do you have confidence that when we close our eyes here, we'll open them to see our Heavenly Father and not our judge? Do we know we belong as citizens of heaven, where all we do here and now is governed by the fact that that we belong to God's family, not the world's societies, not the world's cultures? Do we have confidence in heaven being our home? Having an untroubled heart amidst whatever circumstances that come is fueled heavily by this assurance, knowing that eternity is secured. That's what Jesus this is what Jesus says about having ourselves fixed on heaven. Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If our heart is fixed on heaven, because with God, that is where the greatest treasure is found, then our hearts will be there also, unshakable by temporal circumstance. But don't hear me wrong. Please don't hear me wrong. In having an assurance of heaven, it isn't meant to make us blind to earth. Having an assurance of heaven is not meant to make us blind to earth. Having our eyes fixed and our hearts secured in knowing that heaven awaits us, it isn't meant to remove us from living here and now with our full attention given to the life that God would have us live. No, having an assurance of heaven is actually meant to give us confidence to live the life right here and now that God has called us to live. Confidence to walk with God no matter what comes, no matter what is said, no matter what happens, because we belong to God. We don't belong to our circumstances. Our circumstances don't have a say over who we are or how we live. And so in coming to Jesus as the way to God, coming into relationship with God, one of the wonderful consequences, the incredible promises, is that we have an assurance of heaven. But do we have that assurance? How can we tell? Take a snapshot of how you're living. Does your life reflect someone who has confidence and assurance that lifts them beyond their circumstances? That knows they belong not by works but by grace to God? See, as this new year begins, it's the time to get our eyes fixed right, to get our way fixed right. Where are we anchoring our assurances to? Are we already feeling that overwhelming uncertainty of the year ahead? Are we already feeling that? If you don't have an assurance of heaven, don't start this year alone. Come and let us introduce you to Jesus. Go into this year with that assurance of heaven, lifting you beyond whatever circumstances may come. Who but God knows what is around the next corner? Trust in him. Jesus is the way to God. He's the way to an assurance of heaven. Thirdly, in a similar vein, in coming to Jesus as the way to God, the only way to God, we can have an assurance of salvation. Have a look there, verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also. This relationship with God that Jesus brings us into is one where we not only have an assurance of heaven, but that it's coupled and it's inseparable with an assurance of salvation. That we aren't awarded heaven because of our skills or our abilities or our own righteousness, but because Jesus has saved us graciously. He has taken our sin and given us his holiness. We are reconciled to God and can enter his heaven. See, all of what Jesus says here is centered on him, isn't it? On him being our Savior. Not on him being our judge. He doesn't say he's going to come back to bring them to himself. Jesus will go and prepare heaven for us. He will come back and will take believers to be with him. Where he will be, we will also be. Oneness, unity, togetherness with God. Jesus is promising personal salvation, personal escort into eternity, into the courts of heaven, into God's own presence. And that's found through faith in him, by accepting him as Lord and King, in repenting of our sin, of our rejection of God, and calling on Jesus to take his rightful place as our Savior. And that salvation isn't for a moment, it's not for a season, as long as you can sustain it. Now, our salvation is an eternally assured one. Consider two aspects, because this is a question that comes up a lot. Consider two aspects. Number one, that Jesus went to prepare a place for his disciples, and in essence for all believers in heaven, but this was before they passed from this life. Jesus then tells them that he'll be back for them, and they'll join him. There's no evidence that any of this was conditional, but rather assured and locked in and permanent. Faith in Jesus is eternal salvation. It cannot be moved. And that's because, number two, if Jesus has conquered my sin on the cross, if Jesus has conquered my physical death from the grave, what power does sin have left to rob me out of Jesus' saving hand? If sin is defeated, how can it still have any sting to rob me of my salvation when it was so powerfully won by Jesus? Sin and death have no sting for those whose faith is in Jesus. Our salvation is eternally assured. So in coming to Jesus as the way to God and coming into relationship with God, one of the wonderful consequences, the incredible promises we have is an assurance of salvation. That you are forever saved, forever counted as God's son or daughter. No matter the failures and faults, no matter the temptations that we struggle with, that we may fall prey to, the things that we wrestle with, the shadows of our old sinful self that we're warring against by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives us an assurance that we are God's own. So do we live as the redeemed? Are we living personally devoted, rejoicing in godliness, being reinforced against temptation, against voices telling us that we're worth less than what God says that we are, reinforced against becoming dictated to by our world rather than living freely and righteously for God? If not, maybe we're trying to find assurances of salvation elsewhere. And something else, maybe some of these sound familiar. Are we trying to climb that mountain to God and reach him by our own means? Are we trying to change ourselves to be more attractive to God, more deserving of his salvation? Are we living overwhelmed by our own religious burdens, trying to keep our place in God's good books? How are we seeking assurance? Maybe we're instead living with fear at the thought that maybe we could lose our room in heaven. Maybe it'll be given to somebody else. None of these echo that assurance Jesus is giving here to his disciples. Instead, these are dangerous ideas. These are damaging ideas to life and eternity. If God's a destination, what happens if we miss? If God's a destination, what happens if we miss? If coming to God is about doing, have you done enough? Have I done enough? Have we done enough? Dangerous ideas. It's essential to know that coming to God is about entering a relationship. It's not about doing, it's about becoming. Becoming one with God through faith in Jesus. Remember, God exists on the other side of a void that is separated by our holiness and our sin, by his holiness and our sin, where Jesus bridges that for us, where he takes our sin and he makes us holy. God is in a sort of a shattered and broken relationship with us, which we can't reconcile, but Jesus can, by bringing us forgiveness and unifying us to God. Jesus forges a way for us to God, a salvation that is actuated, that we receive through faith in Jesus doing this for us, which is a salvation sealed in blood, divine blood, an eternal covenant. Jesus is the way to God. He is the way to an assurance of salvation. Well, lastly, come with me to verse 4 to 7. In coming to Jesus as the way to God, we have confidence in God. Notice that we can know an untroubled heart. We can know an untroubled heart, but we might struggle. But we most certainly have an assurance of heaven. We most certainly have an assurance of salvation. These aren't up for grabs. because it's these two assurances of heaven and salvation that lead us to know a confidence in God, a confidence that gives us that untroubled heart. I've given up putting my badge on. Having those assurances of heaven and salvation is what gives us confidence in God, which then leads us to having an untroubled heart when those circumstances come. They aren't up for grabs. Coming into relationship with God through faith in Jesus, we have an assurance of heaven, an assurance of being saved for eternal life, giving us confidence to live as God's own with an untroubled heart amidst life circumstances. Have a listen to the confidence Jesus calls his disciples to have for the road ahead, verse 4 to 7. "And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." See, the way Jesus tells the disciples they know, you know the way. The way that they know is threefold. It's a way to eternal life. It's the way to relationship with the Father. It's relationship with God. And it's the way found through Jesus. And all of these they know. All of these they know. Thomas, however, is thinking very tangible. But Jesus clarifies it. "No, I'm not talking about a place, Thomas. I'm not talking about a place. God doesn't live on the top of a mountain. I'm talking about a relationship with him. A relationship found through coming to Jesus. Because if you know him, then you know the Father. If we come to faith in Jesus, we come into relationship with God because Jesus is God. And this produces a God-centered, unshakable confidence in life no matter the road ahead. Confidence to trust your belonging to heaven, and so lived governed by that assurance. Confidence that you are forever saved, and so lived redeemed, personally devoted. Rejoice in godliness. Leave the other rubbish behind. Rejoice in godliness. Confidence to walk each day to enter a new year with an untroubled heart. Coming to Jesus as the way to God, the only way to God, coming into relationship with God, one of the wonderful consequences, the incredible promises we can know is confidence in God. Jesus is the way to God, and I hope I've said that enough this morning for that to sink in. There was a reason for that. Jesus is the way to God, and I hope that has sunk in. I hope we've got that locked in. It's such an incredible truth. It is such a fundamental trademark of Jesus that the way, I don't know if you remember from our time in Acts last year, the way became the name for Christianity in the first century. It was the way. Followers of Jesus were part of the way. This is a fundamental trademark of Jesus. But what I also pray we've all come to see is this wonderful, these wonderful consequences, these wonderful promises that were freely given to those in relationship with God. But the question I want us to land on this morning, the question I want us to sort of head into this week with, why do we need Jesus to be the way? Why do we need Jesus to be the way? Eating salads may be the way to a healthier life, but do we really need that though? Do we really need that? Well, here's some thoughts to ponder. Number one, our world makes a very loud point of saying that God doesn't belong. And so all the darkness we see in our societies, in our communities, in our homes and relationships, is that what we want instead? Do we not need Jesus to bring us to God because we think we're doing a great job of not needing him? But if God is needed, he can't be the kind that sits atop of a mountain. If everyone in the world determines their own way to God, what happens when those ways are completely contradictory? Who is that God on the top of that mountain if both that way and that way, which are contradictory, both lead to them? Who is that God? God can't be designed by us. Otherwise, he's not God, he's a pet. is a computer. God must be outside of us. But we need a God who's prepared to bridge that void and come to us. Because we need him. And that's the God that we have. He's the God who desires relationship with us. And there's only one way that that happens. Jesus is the way to come into relationship with God. The way to be confident in your belonging to heaven. Confident that you are forever saved. Confident to walk each day. Enter a new year, whatever comes, with untroubled hearts, clinging to God and trusting in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray, Heavenly Father, that your word would sit on us heavy today. Not in a detrimental way, not in a way that is hard to carry, but a heaviness that reminds us of your love, your grace, your want for relationship that you, Lord Jesus, brought for us so freely. The cost of your life gives us life as a free gift. And we pray that as we enter this new week, as we enter this new year, we pray, Lord God, that phrase, Jesus is the way to God, would just ring in our minds. That we would not only live with such faith in you, Lord Jesus, but we would be ready to share it with the world that needs to know. Lord, bless us this week as we seek to walk in relationship with you. Strengthen us by your Spirit to do that well, to do that for your honor and glory. Give us all we need to walk in step with you, Lord God. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus, who brings us to the fullness of God. In your name we pray, amen.